Welcome to the Niched Agency Podcast, where we delve into the journey of owners who have gone from saying yes to everyone and every project to thriving industry leaders and authorities. Here's your host, Ryan McGovern.
Hello and welcome. For those of you that don't know me yet, I'm Ryan McGovern. I'm currently the Director of Sales and Marketing at SEO Brothers, white label SEO company. Prior to that, I've owned a few of my own digital agencies, had some success, had some failures, learned a lot, sold millions of dollars of digital services along the way, and helped a ton of agencies with their personal growth. Joined with me today for another Tool Talk segment is Cody Schneider, founder and CEO of SwellAI.com. Cody.
Ryan, thanks for having me, man. Super excited to be here.
You've got just a great story, and I'm excited to share it with our listeners. You've got your hand in a lot of businesses, but we're going to talk primarily about Swell today. I would love to hear more about the other ones too, but Swell AI is a really, really cool tool. This is part of our segment called Tool Time, guys. Cody, can you walk us through sort of how this business came about? And not just this business, just your entrepreneurial journey in general.
Yeah, happy to. So I started off in e-com. This would have been like 2011, 2012. Ended up catching the print-on-demand wave. So made a lot of money there in that first kind of wave. Lost even more money. So kind of lost my whole bag, to be blunt.
Was it net positive, at least?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was like, I learned so much about business. I'm glad it happened then, like rather than later on, right? With like bigger stakes. But I mean, I was, you know, 20 and printing like 10 to 15 grand a month with print on demand, right? Like you're the richest of your friends. You feel like God. And then basically overnight, the market changed.
Oh, yeah. Even $1,000 when you're 20, it's like, let's go out, boys. I'm buying.
Totally. Yeah. So Anyway, that was kind of the origin. From there, I ended up at a B2B marketing agency that mainly specialized in like manufacturing companies. So think like doors, windows, like wood paneling, super unsexy businesses that are like billion-dollar companies that are Fortune 500 companies that nobody's ever heard of.
Right.
But yeah, so my role there was doing digital strategy. So they were, a lot of what we assisted in was helping them transition from physical media into like digital media. And so my role was basically like, hey, we have these resources, we have these teams, can you help build out these processes? Let's get the right people in place. And then kind of build those systems out for them so that they could build these programs internally.
Yeah. And did you go to school for this or were you self-taught?
Yeah, no, I studied economics in college. I've always been interested in like big data analytics. Don't know how I ended up in this world, to be totally transparent. It's like one of those things.
You would get along great with our founder, Devin. He's a big, big finance analytics, data-driven mind. He's a brilliant guy.
I love it. Yeah. And so I think, you know, like everybody, I was just like, how do you make money on the internet? And so I went deep kind of down that rabbit hole, just like everybody else. And so spent time there. My boss there, he went through Y Combinator, did the whole move out to San Francisco, see God, like make a company, sell it, and then come back. So I really probably got indoctrinated by him and like learned, you know, everything I could from just a marketing standpoint. And then got that bug of like, oh, I want to end up in early stage companies. They were fascinating to me.
So this is a mentor of yours.
Yeah, definitely.
What's his name?
His name's Jeff Reynolds. So still runs Jeff this Reynolds. Agency called Reynolds and Myers. If you go to their website, there's literally like no information on them or what they do. It's like extremely vague, but he works with like, you know, for example, like one of their clients is like one of the biggest like seed manufacturers in the world. So like when you think about like, oh, they're planting like apple
vegetables
trees
or, and okay,
yeah, whatever. Yeah. They have them as a client, right? But it's also like, I mean, these are just like massive conglomerates that are like fertilizer and like all this totally.
Strictly like high ticket items.
100%. 100%. Yeah. All they do is strategy work. So it's like we are literally like building out marketing strategy, positioning, and then they'll augment teams to begin with. And then they like help them place like internal team members. Like
that's amazing. That's so cool for you to be able to be a sponge for that.
Oh, it was amazing, man. I would have paid for that job. I always joked that it was like, you know, an MBA that actually was worth something. And then like, I got paid to learn it, which is even wilder. So from there, I left Reynolds and Myers, ended up in San Francisco. My friend was working at this company called Rupa Health. He was their head of growth. And he was like, hey, Cody, come out and just help me basically do all the digital marketing.
All the marketing things.
Yeah. So his role there had really evolved into like partnership negotiations. And like he had a sales background, so he was super good at that. But all the operations and basically building out these media teams, et cetera, just basically needed assistance on that. So I initially was like, no. At the time, I was like living out of a van with my buddy, like chasing snow all winter, just doing consulting on the side and kind of just dirtbagging around. And then he sent me the data of the company and how fast it was growing. Yeah, it was amazing, man. And I was
ski.
So yeah. Anyways, send me the data. I looked at it over the weekend and I was like, this is the fastest growing thing I've seen in a while from just word of mouth. He's like, I turned on ads here, right? And the graph just goes like vertical. And he's like, please come help me do this. So I joined as employee six and we ended up taking Rupa from a $20 million valuation to $110 million valuation in about 6 months. So the initiatives there that I was kind of a part of was like 0 to 1 their SEO, 0 to 1 their paid ads from Google, Facebook, LinkedIn. We did Pinterest a little bit as well. 0 to 1 their podcasts, their like live class series, kind of like building all of those pieces out. We ended up taking their podcast from like non-existent to a top 20 medical podcast in the US. Now they break like top, I think like 200 health and science or health podcasts in the US. It's called the Root Cause Medicine Podcast. When I left, it was doing about 180,000 downloads a month. And then we built out this massive newsletter. I think it's around, last time I talked to people that were still there, it's around around 450,000 people on that list.
Wow, what a valuable thing to have.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then also built out a Instagram account to 100,000 followers for them. Across the board, I've probably done it, probably touched it in like all these different industries.
If it's related to marketing, you've had some hand in it. Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, so it was at Rupa, got too big for me. I'm bad with HR. And so as soon as we kind of got to a headcount where they needed to get more systematized and process oriented, I bounced because I'm most effective in 0 to 1 for distribution. And so
you thrive in chaos.
I thrive in chaos. Yeah, definitely. I think when it's like I have to convince people internally from a political standpoint to do this thing, I'm way more like just do the thing and then report. And that's like very, very good for early stage companies, which is awesome. So, but yeah. So anyway, ended up leaving that company and was doing consulting. I was running the same playbook for another early stage company. They were a CRM for insurance agents and built out a podcast. And podcasts are like this incredibly effective way to build just like brand within any niche, right? If you just think about, okay, on a weekly basis as a founder, I can sit down, I can interview my target customers. I then take that recording and I chop it up into videos and blog posts and LinkedIn posts and Twitter threads, any of these other types of media. And then I build an email newsletter that's distributing out the long form show to scrape all of your target customers' emails, build an email list with those customers and just literally email them the podcast.
You got it. I was just talking about this with my last guest. So it's like, I don't really record for people to listen to the entire thing. I'm recording so I can get clips.
100%.
Like, yeah.
100%. Yeah. And so anyways, long story short, I saw what was happening. This was July of 2022.
Oh, wow. Not that long ago. Yeah.
So something happened with AI at that point, and we were like, oh, this is like going to become usable. Like this is actually
going to change the world.
Yeah, exactly. And so we were all experimenting with it. So I was road tripping with my girlfriend and we were passing through Bend, Oregon, and we stayed at my buddy's house, who's my co-founder, his name's Max. We had met at Rupa Health. He was employee 7. He was like the first engineering hire. I was the first growth hire.
Right around the same time.
Totally. And then, we were smoking weed in his hot tub and I was like, hey, I'm trying to automate this. Like, do you think it's possible? And he's like, 100%. He was working a lot with embeddings at the time. So like large data sets and understanding what they mean using like LangChain, et cetera. And then like, you know, basically pulling that data out. And so, yeah, in 48 hours, he had the first version of the product spun up. It was literally like a Google Drive folder. We had friends upload an MP3s into. We would download them locally, run it on our machines. I would like manually email people back the content. I mean, we got our first 10 customers that way. And then, we spun up the web version of, it was sweet. But spun up the web version of the products, and that was live in about September, October-ish. And then, you know, ChatGPT dropped in December of that year. And we just kind of rode that wave perfectly into that next thing. So
great timing. Sounds like.
No, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I think, with all things, it's like right place, right time, right resources, skill sets. And
Right skill set. Like everything that led up to that point, like
for sure.
The choices that you made, all
10 other things that were in the air, right? So like, this is the one that fell down and we actually caught. But I mean, I think this is like for anybody that is experienced starting companies, this is how it feels, right? It's like you're doing all these things and you're almost like, I always think about it as like horse betting. You're like putting bets on horses. And then one of them ends up winning and that pays for all of the rest of them. And so.
Sure. Yeah. You'll have seven losers, but one winner and totally. You break. Yeah. Hopefully you're net positive.
Exactly. Yeah. So
amazing story already, like very seasoned and like well-versed in all things marketing. But how did that turn into Swell?
Yeah. So Swell was really, so we bought the domain for like $2,000. It's like swellai.com. And we're like, yo, we're just going to spin this company out of it.
It's a great domain.
We were stoked. Yeah. What we found like from an acquisition standpoint was like cold email and paid ads were just super effective in the early days. And so we just went absolutely ham. Like I was sending, I think like close to 50,000 cold emails a month, like built out like all this infrastructure for it to handle. It's way harder now to do this exact same thing. Like, than 2 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, doing 50,000 emails a month now.
You can do it still. I mean we can go down this rabbit hole if you want.
Yeah, I don't really want to. But yeah, you need like 300 domains or whatever. I don't know. I can't do the math off the top of my head. But
Yeah. We're seeing that you can do it with about like 75 domains right now. And then my whole like infrastructure that we're seeing to do this. So Microsoft and Google are cracking down on this. So there's all these companies that are spinning up that will basically build out these like servers for you that are dedicated servers for email sending, and they're optimized for that. So you go buy like 75 domains on Porkbun with a bulk buy, use AI to basically write all the variations of the domains. You then go to something like a MailReef.com. And what MailReef does is they basically will like spin up the server for you that's dedicated. And then you make however many inboxes out of those 75. Like I would probably do like 150 different inboxes out of the 75. And then with that, you can send about 10 emails per inbox per day, and then send about 20 to 30 warming emails per inbox per day. And and then use Smart Lead, and use like a data broker to buy all of your email lists. With that, you can send like for about 800 a month, you could probably send us 100,000, but we send about like 30,000 to 50,000 cold emails a month.
Wow. With that. I'm doing 100 a day. And even that totally. Seems like a lot to me because our total addressable market is much smaller than Swell's. But yeah, I do about 100 a day with four domains, like 25 each. And they all have, what I found really helps is putting AI snippets. And we're kind of getting off course here a little bit, but I don't care. We're still talking tools. You put AI snippets in there like, hey, I noticed your article about such and such topic. Really cool. As long as you have something in there that is changing the text from being the exact same thing every single time, it should work out fine. I didn't do that my first pass, though. And my main domain, like my email, my personal work email, which is like where I live and breathe. Yeah, it got deactivated and I panicked. It was the scariest thing ever. And it was because I restarted my browser. I logged out. And when I tried to log back in, it was like, It was totally. Like 15 minutes from when I was going to have like this big demo call with this new client. Oh my God, and I had to like panic calling like the founder. Thank God he fixed it. And I was able to get like an invite to that demo with my personal email. So I still able to join it, but damn. Yeah. And guys, there's a good tip. Never use your own domain to do stuff like that. Never use your primary email to do anything like that. Even if you think the volume's low enough and that you'll be fine, it's not worth it.
Yeah. I mean, it really depends. I mean, you probably could send like 10 a day and be fine. Like, I don't know. I send like 30 emails a day probably, right? So it's like, it's going to be hidden. So like Rippling.com, billion-dollar company now, how they grew is entirely through email. So they send like millions of transactional emails on a monthly basis, like hundreds of millions now. And so they were sending from their core domain. And so they were sending like a million plus cold emails a month from their core domain. But because it's such a small percentage of the total email sent, then, it's like 1% or less. It hides basically the sending is happening, right? So this is a tactic that like companies that have a lot of transactional, and sorry, just to clarify this, like transactional email is email that's coming from the product, right? So it's like, hey, I need you to sign this form your
invoice received or sent
exactly,
or whatever.
Exactly. And so because of that, it's, just a percentage of like total sends that are happening, but like all their data, 99% of the emails were getting open, clicked and interacted with. And so if they're sending only 1% of them, you can basically hide that in that. So it becomes this kind of fascinating game that you can play.
That's
when
so
you get
cool.
to scale.
I didn't know that. I mean,
random. I only know that because my friend knows their head of growth that was early on. And so then we were basically like swapping cold email stuff. And he was like, yo, this is how we're like literally sending it from the core domain. And then it's just like a percentage of the total transactional email that we do on a monthly basis.
That's cool. I didn't know it was like that. I think I got suspended because I was sending the exact same thing and I was maybe 15 like business related emails a day, but 100 of the same like marketing email without an opt out. By the way, which like can spam, don't do that. But
Anyway.
Yeah, no, Rippling looks cool. I've never heard of this.
Yeah. Huge company. But yeah, literally did just an insane amount of it. But yeah, sorry, digress far away. I'm deep in the email world. So like, I can grow. I mean, we do this for clients where we grow like email newsletters from like 0 to 100,000 subs in about 12 months.
Still talking tools, man. Yeah, we're talking tools and I love it. And any knowledge that me and the audience can gain from you is... that's a huge win. So yeah, a little bit of a tangent, but I don't mind whatsoever. But yeah, I think you were getting on track to telling us about the origin of Swell.
Yeah, so that was really the origin, was like we had clients that were doing these podcasts, or I have clients that were doing these podcasts. Then we basically like built this tool to automate all the workflows, so all the content repurposing and like production of those shows. So like writing show notes, writing blog posts, writing LinkedIn posts, et cetera. Now we expanded where we actually like we'll create clips. So you upload a video into us. We create clips. We do auto cropping. You can take those clips and you can schedule them directly out to your social channels. So
all done for you, or do you have to manage it?
It's all self-service. We do have a done-for-you service, but it's mainly for like, example, we have clients that have a ton of webinars and they're like, hey, we just repurpose our webinar content. We just want 10 blog posts written about each webinar, right? And so then they have, basically it's just a VA that lives inside of us that's like using the tool for them is what that looks like.
So. Sure. Okay. Do you ever like go to a company, or has companies approached you about coming in and building them a similar sort of tool internally?
No, never had that. We have, I own a growth agency. So like a part of, this is another company, but we'll do like basically we build like full service podcasts for them. So Swell is like the back end of this.
And part of Yeah.
So, I mean, and I know your audience is like agency owners. Like this is like we're in a gold rush right now. If you can figure out how to build AI automated workflows to like power your agencies. I mean, we do this and it's like, we can run at 80% margins. Like we're running at software margins with like human talent and just AI production workflows, right?
Yeah. I imagine there's account managers or campaign or somebody behind.
Yeah. We have people at like FaceTime with those, like the companies, but we do very productized like scopes of work where it's like, hey, like we're going to do programmatic SEO for you. As an example, it's like, we're going to write 100 articles a month about all these long tail keywords related to it. We then go and get those indexed and we build out, 8 to 10 links, right? So just like a very finite scope of work.
You kind of just hit it, but to rewind real quick, can you explain programmatic SEO to like a fifth grader real quick?
Yeah. So programmatic SEO traditionally was like, I would go find like keyword variations, like how to XYZ Excel, right? And then I would go and I'd build out basically a template, and I would go and I like a lot of the times it's like different titles that are then you like change the keywords in the titles based on whatever the target keyword is. And then I would hand that off to a writer, and that person would write to whatever that piece of content outline was. But it's basically just doing like variations. Like the very simple form of this is looking at a company like Amazon as an example, and they build all of these landing pages that are all programmatically generated. So basically software is generating them at scale to rank for these keywords. So how the game has changed now with AI is like, instead of needing for me to like map out and include the writers in this, the AI is really capable of writing this content. The writers that we use are more and more just turning into curators of that content, right? So say, for example, I'm trying to rank, and I just had a friend's company, they're doing this right now, so I'm using them as an example. They're basically building like a Notion, like Airtable competitor. And so they found that like when people search for stuff related to Excel, they are a great candidate to get them into their product, right? Because it's like this like AI enabled spreadsheets, presentations, et cetera. And so for them, what they ended up doing is going and scraping like every keyword related to how to like XYZ PowerPoint, how to XYZ Excel, how to XYZ Microsoft Word, et cetera.
So like tens or hundreds or thousands?
Oh, thousands, like 10,000 plus minimum.
Wow. Yeah.
And then for all of those keywords, then basically programmatically building out these landing pages, having AI write that content. You can take this even further and go even more automated. And so like what we do and what we see be really effective is we go and we scrape the front page of Google for what is ranking currently for that target keyword. We put that into the context window of the AI. And then we say, okay, AI, now write me an article or a blog post for this target keyword based off of this information that I provided you. And what we see is that the content output is like 10x better than just prompting the AI's general knowledge to write about that topic, because it's like Google has already said, like, these are good search results, right? And just take that idea and transfer it over to like Swell AI and what it does. The idea with Swell is like, okay, you upload an MP4 into Swell, it generates a transcript, right? We take that transcript, and then that's in the context window. And then I can basically prompt against that transcript, hey, you know, list 10 different insights from this episode. Now write a post that's 10 sentences long for each of these insights. Now make these posts have white space in between them. And boom, you just have 10 like LinkedIn posts that you can schedule out, and the software, you know, basically just built these out for you. And because in contrast, if I just go prompt the AI, I'm like, hey, like write me 10 LinkedIn posts, it's going to give me the most generic terror, you know, it's just going to be uninteresting. It's not novel. But when I have conversations with like industry experts, I capture that knowledge in these recordings. And then I have the AI do something from a content standpoint based off of that domain knowledge that we captured. That's when we see that the AI create content that's like at par, if not better, than a human, because it's pulling from source material that's like already...
that's already ranking well. Yeah,
it's garbage in, garbage out. Same idea.
There's no human element after...
You can do it with no human. We do it with human, like for our clients, but like for companies I own, like I'm just like one shot writing these articles.
Just
and publishing
go for
them
it.
And seeing,
yeah.
And seeing them work, right? Like I see, like if you, yeah, if you go Google, like Google ads for apartment buildings, as an example, like I should come up page one, and that article is entirely written by AI. And yeah, like there's zero human editing. We just literally did that whole process of like scraping what's ranking and then getting it to like publishing it. So
is the landscape changing? Because the last I heard, they were really cracking down on that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that they're focused on largely is what is like, I don't think Google knows what to do, like is really what it comes down to.
Yeah, they're like, oh, shit, this incredibly powerful thing is coming to the world and we're not really ready for it.
Totally. Yeah. And it's like, I'm focused more and more on time on site and interaction with the page, right? So like, what is the user actually doing once they're getting there? Since we're writing content, two things are happening. Since we're writing content based off of what is ranking on page one currently, we already know this is good content. Google has already told us this is good content. And this is what a writer would do traditionally, right? Like I'd be like, yo, here's their target keyword. Go build me a blog post outline on it. What's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to go Google that target keyword. If they're a good SEO, they're going to find all of the titles. And then they're going to organize all the titles and they're going to write a piece of content off of that, right? And then they'll try to like add some more, like whatever, add some novelty.
Expediting the process exponentially, obviously. But yeah, I'm just curious if you had any insight onto that. But
as long as it provides value,
if it's working, right?
Totally. That's how, like I've had websites that I own get clapped, right? Where Google just goes in like overnight, basically sites go to zero.
Manual action.
Yep. I've had sites where it is all human written content. It got clapped. So there is no rhyme or reason right now. There's no way that they can identify this type of content, full stop. The only thing, like all these like originality testers and all that shit.
So yeah,
like,
all of those AI detection software. Is it
total
really?
Bull.
Okay.
100%. The only thing that it's doing is it's like, oh, here's words that are commonly used, right? But it's like, yo, just use, like if you gave it a vocabulary example or just say, hey, talk like you're from like Southern California, like write like you're from Southern California. Like you're going to pass one of those AI originality testers every time. None of that matters. What it matters is like, it's the human on the other side. Are they consuming the content and are they liking it? What we're seeing though is like humans don't want to read AI written content or what they think is AI written content. It's the only reason you need to rewrite the AI written content is so that the human basically spends more time consuming it, right?
Yeah. I think even doing some reformatting too is a pretty easy way to do it. Like 9 out of 10 prompts I put in chat in like Playground, I'll get, here's the like summarizing what you asked for. And now here's bullet, 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 bullet. And then here's the conclusion. And if you just take that and reformat it, like you can easily sort of
1000%
trick people. But yeah, it's kind of an easy way to do it.
For sure. And I don't know, like everybody has their own opinions on this. I'm out here to make money, right? And like SEO serves a purpose to get inbound leads. Like that is its whole goal, right? Like I'm either trying to get somebody to sign up for my newsletter, download an ebook, or sign up for the software.
Yeah, when we write content as we do every day, we're not writing it so people read every single word. We're writing it to rank for specific long tail keywords so that people come to their site and order their stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
Purchase their service or whatever it may be.
I'm pretty active on Twitter and I get this all the time because I talk about this stuff in public. They're like 100 good pieces of content will outperform 1,000. And I'm like, yo, I'm going to write 10,000 pieces of good content. Like while you are over there, like,
that's not even,
like this is pro ball now. Like this is the level that you have to be at to play pro ball, in my opinion, of like what we're seeing. So, I mean, it's just an arbitrage that exists.
Is it within reach for, you know, small businesses though?
100%. Like if you're a small business right now, go buy Perplexity Pro. So go to perplexityai.com and buy Perplexity Pro. You get access to Claude Sonnet Unlimited. If you go and you prompt, write a 2,000 word blog post about, in quotes, target keyword, it's going to one shot write a 2,000 word blog post. And that will rank on Google. Like go search Google ads for apartments. Like my website is going to come up. It's in position like 6, I think, right now. The site is down, so bear with me. Anyway, my whole server got DDoS. So this has been an ongoing thing.
Oh no, that's terrible.
But anyway, that article is literally just a Perplexity article that I published and then indexed. I haven't built any links. The domain authority of the site is 12. Like nothing interesting is happening here and it's working. And that's a high value keyword. Somebody searches that. That's a super high value keyword, right? So anyways, this is the game. This is the arbitrage.
Okay. So, I mean, after we're talking scale of thousands of articles, though, what do you do with the Perplexity output? How do you spin that into 9,999 more?
Yeah. So, and we're just writing off those long tail keywords, right? So like how to do a function.
Okay. So you're you'll go into Playground
and
be like, hey, here's my original long tail. Give me 9,000 variations.
Yeah. So that same prompt, so write a 2,000 word blog post about how to do a VLOOKUP in Excel, right? That would be one piece of content. And then I would go create a new window and I'd be like, okay, same prompt, write a 2,000 word blog post about how to pivot table in Excel, right?
Okay.
And then it writes that 2,000 word blog post. And so you do that for all 1,000 keywords that you're trying to rank for.
Yeah.
You publish all of those. And then you use the Google Web Indexing API to do a call to submit those so that Google sees them. So you can do 200 calls per day. That's currently what we're seeing. But you can spin up basically an infinite amount of accounts for Google Cloud. So Google Cloud then allows you, like each cloud project, you can have 200 web indexing API calls per day. So if you want to index like 1,000 articles, you just need 5 Google Cloud projects. And then you're doing those calls on a daily basis. And that's how we can get these seen, get those indexed. And then it just comes back to like traditional SEO of like, you got to build links out as well. So
yeah. Is it possible to do more? Or does it, are you only limiting it to 200 just because you don't want to get flagged? Or what's the...
Oh yeah. So that's just a limitation that Google gives per cloud project.
It's just set. Okay. Set by Google.
Yeah. So that's their max that you can do on a given cloud project on a daily basis. But you can spin up 20 different cloud projects or 10 different cloud projects.
Yeah, do the math on whatever you want.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Post.
So this is what we do for our clients, right? It's like we like write content at scale. We then go and we use the indexing API to get it seen. And then we're building links in the back end as well to like have that happen. But that's how you can take like a site with a DA40 or whatever and like go write 5,000 pieces of content for them. And like, you know, in 6 months, basically, we've seen it where it's like 4 to 5x their daily organic traffic with that type.
What about page title? What about meta? What about metadata?
Yeah, yeah.
And
I'm
like
just leaning into the CMS. So it's like whatever that, again, we're going after long tail keywords. So like I'm just exact matching whatever the H1 that we do in the site, like that is the exact match keyword that we're going after. The meta title, exact match. And then, you know, I just have AI write a meta description as an example.
Okay. Like the headers of your H2s and beyond are just what it gives you.
Whatever the AI comes up with. But again, it's writing what is ranking currently. So what it's going to come up with, it already, like Google's already told us that that is what it's looking for. We're just writing a more comprehensive version of what is already ranking.
I want to, if somebody's listening right now and they're not actually listening, I want to perk your ears up because this is extremely valuable information. I mean, I always knew it was possible, but I didn't know how to use it and what the names of the tools were and where to go and what exactly to do it. So if like the last 5 minutes, you should charge people for that. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I live to serve all this stuff. Like I'm raised on the internet. I'm built online. Right. And I get asked all the time, like, again, I'm pretty active on Twitter and constantly people are like, can you do coaching? Can you do a course, that type of stuff? And I'm like, no, I'll just do it for free for it. Ask me the question. I'll make a video, like a public YouTube video that talks through all of it in detail.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've had a bad experience myself with coaches and gurus and such, but I just have a bad taste in my mouth about it in general. So whenever I see like I'm on Instagram or whatever, scrolling through and I see a new, yet again, another coach like trying to get me to, I'm like, just automatically, I don't like it. But if I see somebody giving away something for free, Like I've opted into email lists before where he's like, opt in my email list. I'll give you my guaranteed like second touch cold outreach email that has, I've seen 85 to 90% reply rate. I'm like, reply rate? What? You mean open rate? Anyway, yeah. I respect the fact that you're just like, this is my gift to whoever's following me. That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. People came before me and they like were the only reason I can do this. There's this channel. It's called like Analytics Mania. There's another one called like Loves Data. And it's basically just like, I mean, they just go deep on Google Data Studio or what's now called Looker Studio. And like some of the best content on the internet, if you're in digital marketing, it's like,
Loves Data? This like
Loves Data or Analytics Mania is another one. And then there's another one called Measure School. And all they do is they take like digital marketing data. So like think Google Search Console, Google Analytics, like Facebook ads, and they basically show you how to like use like business intelligence tools, which is like the core one they use is called Looker Studio, which used to be called Google Data Studio. And they just do this for free. You know, it's in public.
Yeah. Looker Studio course. I can find GA4 complete course, learn how to set up, customize and use the latest version of Google Analytics. Wow.
And they sell courses, right? So like they're using this as a top of funnel. But yeah, I mean, it's like how I think about it, I'm just doing the same thing, but I'm selling you productized services or softwares, right? Like I'm just building media that provides a ton of value. It's like, yeah, like, you know, somebody's going to be listening to this and they're going to be here. Oh, like he's talking about writing and publishing 10,000 articles in 6 months, right?
That sounds cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, they're going to hear the process and be like, we don't have the bandwidth or the time for that. That turns into inbound leads, right? It's like, for me, it's like, oh, it's just like this education in public that turns into, oh, they have domain expertise and whatever it is they're talking about. And that turns into a top of funnel down into whatever it is that we're trying to sell or produce.
Yeah, 100%. It's been really valuable tool insight, like not just tool insight, but business insight as well. Okay. So that was, where are we at in the timeline? You started Swell how long ago? This was like 2 years? Was it 2022?
Yeah, right around there. So September of 2022. Yeah, so we're coming up on 2 years this next month, which is wild. Okay. Actually, that's crazy. So
okay. Do you mind sharing what sort of success you've had up to this point?
Yeah. We don't talk specific like dollar numbers, but I mean, we service thousands of customers.
Yeah, just
customers
number per month. Of people. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like hundreds of terabytes a month of data.
Sure.
Writing like hundreds of millions of words per month for clients, you know, tens of thousands of clips. Yeah. So at that scale.
Lots and lots.
Yeah. Totally. And then, yeah, that's kind of the where it's at. I mean, so it's a self-service tool. So like we're building these funnels out for this, et cetera. It's not like enterprises. Initially, we thought we were going to do this enterprise play where it's like we're going to go into traditional media, but really there's just like, is way more money just going after like any creator that's making content. So
sure. Yeah. And I mean, you can always make a pivot in the future if need
for
be,
sure.
Right?
For sure. And we still do some deals like where it's like, they're like, hey, we need transcription, like a ton of transcription.
At
we don't
scale.
Want to anything else. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Our transcription is pretty good. It's like a 99% accuracy compared to human transcription levels. We built this custom model. We work with this dude out of Oxford, who's way smarter than us. He's like this like linguistics AI researcher. Long story short, we built this, it uses like the largest Wismer model, but then we modified it so that it does chunking so that we like, and traditionally, if you want to get really good transcription from an AI, you need to go and you like, basically it's like a one-to-one of from a time standpoint. So if I have an hour long video and I want to get that transcribed, it's going to take an hour of time to get that transcription. So what we built is we basically chop it up into like all of these like smaller pieces, and then we simultaneously run them all together, and then we stitch it all back together.
Well, unfortunately, we're coming up on time, guys. Cody, it's been a pleasure having you. You have brought a wealth of insight here. I've learned about things that I did not think I would learn about. Really amazing stuff with AI. I didn't know you could write thousands of pieces of content and publish thousands of sites. I thought Google was cracking down on that stuff, but man, you've got some brilliant, brilliant insight. So thank you so much for being here. If people want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Yeah, the two best places will be LinkedIn and Twitter. I'm most active there. And then if you just go to swellai.com, you can sign up for free as well. So yeah, that'll be the best way to get in touch.
Perfect. Perfect. And if anybody would like to get a hold of me, if you're trying to scale your agency, you're looking for a white label SEO option, or you have one currently and you're looking for something better because we're the best, I would like to speak to you. You can find me on LinkedIn, Ryan McGovern. You can go to seobrothers.co or you can email me directly. If you are listening to this right now in general, even if you don't want to do business with us, I would love to speak to you. I want to speak to all our listeners. You can email me directly, ryan@seobrothers.co. That's going to do it for us today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you to Cody for being here. We'll see you next time.